I'm glad to invite you to turn to Psalm 110. Our psalm meditation will be from this psalm today, Psalm 110. Listen as I read God's Word. A psalm of David. The Lord said to my Lord, "Sit at my right hand till I make your enemies your footstool. The Lord shall send the rod of your strength out of Zion. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Your people shall be volunteers in the day of your power. And the beauties of holiness from the womb of the morning, you have the dew of your youth. The Lord has sworn and will not relent. You are a priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek. The Lord is at your right hand. He shall execute kings in the day of his wrath. He shall judge among the nations. He shall fill the places with dead bodies. He shall execute the heads of many countries. He shall drink of the brook by the wayside. Therefore, he shall lift up the head." We believe that every psalm anticipates and foreshadows Jesus in some way. There are some psalms, though, like Psalm 110, that very clearly represent Jesus Christ. It is the most quoted psalm in the New Testament. Jesus himself and the apostles quote Psalm 110 and apply it to Jesus as the Messiah. They all explain how David spoke prophetically about the coming of the Son of God. It starts in verse 1. The Lord said to my Lord. You may have noticed as you were reading this that the first word Lord is written in a funny way. Funny in the sense that it's not usual for us to capitalize every letter of a word. The writers of the scriptures did this so that they could identify the word that lies behind that word Lord. It's the covenant name for God. Sometimes we say Jehovah or Yahweh. It's the name that God used when he revealed himself to Moses. He said, "Tell the people, I am," or Yahweh, or Jehovah, "has sent you." That's the covenant name for God, and it's a very special name, representing the promises that God has made to be a God to us and to our children after him, us. The second word, Lord, only capitalizes the first one. And there's a different word behind that word, Lord. It's the word Adonai, another title that's given to God. What we have are two different persons of the Godhead being referred to by David. David says, "The Lord, the covenant-making God, has said to my Lord." And what he's speaking of is the Father speaking to the Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus himself explains it in this way as he quotes this passage, pointing out his own divine nature. The other apostles, Peter and the author of Hebrews, quoted it as well to prove that the ascended Jesus is the Messiah, the one promised by Psalm 110. And that's just the beginning. The psalm is full, then, of the ways that Jesus works out his appointment by God to be our Redeemer. It is exactly as that first verse says. The Father has said to the Son, "Sit at my right hand and rule." There are two special ways that I'll focus on in this psalm meditation that David lays out the work of our Redeemer. He focuses on Jesus acting as our king and as our priest. First of all, as king, God had promised, as you might remember, had promised to King David that David would have someone who was one of his descendants that would always sit on the throne. There would always be a son of David who would rule over God's people. By this we can see how David himself and all of those earthly kings merely foreshadowed the coming promised king, the perfect king, who is Jesus himself. As David says then, God anointed Jesus as king and gave him authority over all of his enemies. Jesus said this in the Great Commission when he said, "All authority is given to me in heaven and on earth." And he exercises that authority. He does it in the language of this psalm by conquering all of his enemies. A conquering that goes out from Zion, or the place of God's temple in Jerusalem, and then extends over the nations of the earth. It's a promise of the progress of the gospel, so that the enemies of God are brought underneath Jesus' feet. David uses very poetic language. He says that they would be a footstool for Jesus. Abigail asked the children this morning if that was a good thing or a bad thing. And we had good and bad, and it's good for Jesus to have a footstool, and it's bad if you're the footstool, right? Well, that's exactly what's going on here. Jesus rules over his enemies. He brings them under his feet, either by conquering them or by converting them. This is the progress of the kingdom and the promise of the gospel, that Jesus will rule and must rule, as 1 Corinthians 15 says, until he has brought all things underneath his feet. As you sing this psalm, reflect on the royal majesty of Jesus Christ. Honor him, for you owe him your allegiance. Now think of the priest. There are more things that could be said about both of these, but just to whet your appetite as you meditated on it this month, think of now how Jesus acts as a priest. Verse 4 says that God ordained Jesus to serve as the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. This is important because God said that the priesthood would be limited to the Levites, those of the tribe of Levi, and the high priesthood would be limited just to the sons of Aaron. But Jesus was the son of David. So you might say, how could someone from the line of Judah be a priest? Jesus is not of the tribe of Levi. But God says, even before Jesus was born, that he would be a priest, but a priest of the order of Melchizedek, that mysterious figure from Genesis who was before Levi and Aaron and received sacrifices and led worship from Abraham. It was a type of foreshadowing of Jesus Christ. And Jesus' priesthood is of that order. So God explained by promising that Jesus would be a priest, not after the order of Levi, but after the order of Melchizedek, a greater order. Because of this, we can say that we no longer depend upon the Levitical priests or the sacrifice of animals. Instead, our worship comes through the mediation of Jesus, who lives to make intercession for us. He was the perfect sacrifice and the perfect priest. And so we can come directly into the throne room of God through Jesus Christ. But even more than that, Jesus continues to serve as high priest. He continues to serve as priest of the new covenant. He has entered heaven and is now, as the psalm says, seated at the right hand of God in power. There he rules as both king and priest, exercising divine justice on his enemies. And in doing so, he grants you access to the throne of grace. So as you sing this psalm, meditate as well on the high priestly work of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, because Jesus, your high priest, has gone before you behind the veil and there mediates on your behalf. Throughout this month, we'll meditate on the King and Priest, Jesus Christ, who is our Lord. will turn to sing this psalm, praising God for this Lord who is our Lord. We'll sing Psalm 110, Selection A. Please stand to praise Him.